This is Davinston.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Davinson. Hope you had fun about insurance talk, conspiracy theories, and softball. I buried the lead on the softball story, Joe and Pip. We won 19-8. We mercy ruled them in our first game.
Nice.
We're back, baby. We're back! So our next game is Friday, because apparently when you're our age, you need more than a week off in between games. I don't know. But anyway. So, but it, well, you know, I forgot to talk. It was nice to be out amongst other people I don't live with. It was sort of normal.
Yeah.
It was yeah. Nice. I'm still keeping, like I said, I'm still keeping some safety protocols, but it was good. It was uplifting. You know, now I'm back at home and I'm dealing with social media and all the morons out there, and it depresses me. But, you know, the numbers go up if you believe them, and the stupidity goes with it. Oh, and by the way. By the way, that doctor that I told you about in the last one who put the, I guess the African, I don't know if she's African American or just black. I don't know. I don't know if she's from this country. But she was like one of the lead doctors on the viral video that was going out there. So I apparently, in Trump, today Trump press conference goes, I know nothing about her.
What did he say?
He goes, I know nothing about her. He disowned her right away. He puts these, because, you know, he'll retweet this stuff himself, and then when there's a pushback, well, no, I don't know what you're talking about. These thumbs, no control of them.
It's like, just tossed her right under the bus.
Well, you know, listen, you get used to it, baby. Get used to it. He's preparing you for life. Joe has always talked about this. He's not going to hold your hand. Donald Trump prepares you for life getting run over by a bus. And there's really no substitute. These other politicians, you know, they'll kiss your ass, tell you good things. Donald Trump will kiss your ass, and then he'll buck the bus over it. So that's a little taste of reality. That's what we get.
Well, what I really particularly enjoyed about that woman's theories is that you would get cysts and things from having sex with demons in your sleep. And much earlier on in my life, I had a giant ovarian cyst, and I figured that was from all the demon sex I was having while asleep.
Listen, you know you're with a demon having sex when they spit pea soup on you. That's how you know.
So let me ask you a question. I saw the picture of the video. I didn't watch the video.
Neither did I. You know why we didn't, Joe? You know why we didn't? Because we know it was horse shit. And there's only so many hours in the day. But go on.
She
said there's a cure for COVID-19, and she's treated all these people with, like, zinc or something, you know, and they've all recovered. But apparently, other doctors asked if they could review these cases, apparently she said, nay, nay, which is what you do as a doctor. Wait, you want to see my work? This possible groundbreaking work? Nay, nay. I will wait until I can put on a white coat and stand with some chiropractors and Breitbart puts out a viral video. That's how I'll get my message across. I've been sitting back, letting the COVID ravage the world while I had this cure. But once Breitbart came with that sweet Breitbart, not cash, we're not doing cash now, PayPal payment, I came forth with my theories. And by the way, don't fuck Satan. It's not good for you. Thank you. Good night.
No, because
she's been out there for years. Apparently, this is on her website, and she's been on podcasts and everything. She's a lunatic. Unless you believe having sex with a demon is bad for you. But no.
Who knew?
And no, and she also says people are being some medicines or what, with alien DNA and shit.
Yes.
I mean, so, yeah. So, again, it's always the same fucking cast of characters. Morons who I'm friends with, who I would never have, because who I've learned, never talk about anything that matters because they're idiots. And there's only certain men of the... Of course, it's all them going, ah, look at Facebook and Twitter trying to keep it down. Yeah, they don't want the hydroxychloroquine to get out because it hurts Donald Trump. No, because the FDA itself fucking said since June, this is kind of bad for you. But then again, it's the government, and apparently Donald Trump has no control over the government, because if there's one thing we know about Donald Trump, if he doesn't like somebody, he'll leave them in that position. Donald Trump will never fire somebody or remove them. Donald Trump is afraid to remove people from their jobs. We've learned that about Donald Trump. Oh, wait, no, we haven't. He'll fucking go. Donald Trump is out of Rolodexes. That's how many people that guy fires. I can't. I thank my lucky stars. Out of all the things that Joe and I disagree on politically, because that's usually where our disagreements come in, that this is one thing where, we, for the most part, we don't disagree. Because this show would be fucking tedious if I had a fucking fight with a moron every fucking week.
They would just be screaming.
No, it would just be impossible. It would just, you know, I mean, listen, there are certain things that Joe and I argue about, and I think he's wrong, but I could see the logic about it, you know, even if I don't agree with it. And then there's other things, usually climate change, or but we argue about that, but COVID-19, where there's just no logic. There's too much science about it. So I'm glad that the three of us don't have to have that argument. We can argue about other shits, about policy and stuff, that which is fine. You can get to the same place by going different ways. That's fine. I don't have an... Oh, bitch, really? Pip just took a cup, a sip out of, like, coffee out of her bitch mug. Joe, I believe that was directed at you. Look, that was all casual and shit. Like, she was like Kermit the Frog. You know that meme that they have Kermit the Frog that just looks like at you when they're fucking amusing you? Like, Kermit, like, it's something stupid, and Kermit's like, I'm just gonna drink my tea, you dumb motherfucker. Pip just did that to us with her bitch coffee mug. That's what Pip did to Joe and I.
Great, man.
It's hysterical. Yeah, she holding up. You fucking twat. A fucking glory over there. Fuck you. Fuck you. How dare you? How dare you? All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That was not an accident, my dear. We know what you're up to. We will not have that. We will not have that. You will. I will be sent. I will be where next week. I will have a coffee mug that says C word, and that's what I will have.
No, but it'll literally spell out C word.
Yeah, C word, and you will know that is directed at you. And I will look real smug over the cup as I drink my little beverage. Like, ooh, am I doing something? Go on, amuse yourselves.
I've been drinking from this cup. I've been drinking from this cup for the whole hour we've been doing the show. So
no, but you held that. You held that shit up high. You knew exactly what you were doing. All right. All right. So it goes. You bitch you. Anyway.
That's what the mug says.
Anyway, let's talk a little baseball while we can. All right, so opening day was Thursday night. Yankees played the Nationals in the first game of the year. Dr. Fauci, I don't want to say threw out the first pitch, vomited the first pitch, perhaps, because it looked like a spasm. Now, let me talk on this real quick. If you didn't see it, it was really bad. Let me talk on this very briefly. First of all, he said it could be an excuse. I don't know. He used to play shortstop in high school, so he should know how to throw a ball, but I guess he picked up the ball a couple days before he threw it out, and he hurt his arm. You know, doesn't want to embarrass himself. Unfortunately, he did. Now, I, having been the only member of this show to have actually thrown out a first pitch and somewhat embarrassed himself during it, I can relate. But now, here's the difference. Now, I know in my situation, my arm was fine, but I did not have any practice, which if I would have had practice, I would have gotten loose. I could have figured out the 60 feet, 6 inches, and I feel like I would have thrown a better pitch. If you go the major leagues, they'll let you warm up a little bit, like in the hall, like by the dugout, you can throw a little bit. I don't know if Fauci had that opportunity or not. I did not have that opportunity, and I will tell you, the ball was right over home plate, about 6 feet over the catcher, too. But right over home plate when I throw it. So I can relate. But that's Dr. Fauci. Listen, again, stay in your lane. I'm looking at him on how to control a virus. I'm not looking at him on how to throw a fucking breaking pitch, a slider, or a fastball. It's okay. Matt Harvey can't do it, and he used to be good at the shit. So if Dr. Fauci can't do it, I'm fine with that, too.
I don't understand why anybody would accept that invitation because the odds of making an ass of yourself are so high.
No, no, because you know what? There's a level of forgiveness. If you're relatively close, the crowd. First of all, there's no crowd. There's no crowd there. So, I mean, if there's ever going to do it, now's the time
to do it.
You can't get fucking booed. But listen, it's an honor. I was thrilled when they asked me. I was not thrilled when I sailed it over the catcher's head. You know, it is what it is. It's an honor. And, you know, good for Dr. Fauci. It's a shame it didn't work out for him. But now, before the game, in a coordinated gesture between the reigning World Series champion Washington Nationals and your New York Yankees, the first Major League game played on Thursday night. So what happened is before the game, the players from the Yankees and Nationals clutched a black cloth that winded from the Nationals' first baseline around to the Yankees on the third baseline. Then before a pre-recorded rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner, every player and coach out for pregame instructions took a knee on the grass for about 20 seconds. So before the National Anthem, both teams and coaches took a knee. As the Yankees took batting practice Thursday, majority of the players and manager Aaron Boone wore Black Lives Matter t-shirts, a maneuver that months ago would have been viewed in a far more radical light. It was the work of millions of protesters and perhaps the time of reflection created by COVID-19 that made the gesture feel safe, almost wrote, even though still steeped in meaning. In the wake of Floyd's killing, the sport of Jackie Robinson, which has seen its black player population dwindle down to around 8%, so a coalition of current and former black players come together and form the Players Alliance with Yankee star Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge, both prominent members. Thursday night, a Player Alliance video narrated by Morgan Freeman played on the video board at the Nationals Park as a black cloth lined the grass. After the video, players clutched the cloth, then silently knelt for about 25 seconds before rising in the moments before local favorite D.C. Washington's rendition of the national anthem played. To have everyone kneel at the same time, it was to give hope to an overall reason you want to do it, said Giancarlo Stanton after the victory. For me, it's for the radical injustice and black lives in general and a lot of things going on. We all have individual reasons to do so. I believe with everything we did beforehand, wearing the Black Lives Matter t-shirts and patches and unity ceremony before, that was decided. Thursday's action was the result of numerous team meetings both Wednesday and throughout the coronavirus-induced shutdown. Nationals closer Sean Doolittle said the concept of teams clutching black ribbon, the Dodgers and Giants to the same hours later, was discussed among the MLB Players Association and MLB. Dual team kneeling, he said, was a concept hatched among the Nationals and Yankees in recent days. The Nationals held a pregame meeting Thursday to smooth out the final details. It was emotional. I thought it was powerful, said Doolittle. It was important for us and for the Yankees. They already bought in, holding the ribbons and kneeling to show support for athletes that have done it in other sports and so far in baseball. To show support for the movement about Black Lives Matter and ending police brutality, racism, and injustice. Yankee manager Aaron Boone said, I thought it was a great way of demonstrating while being mindful of other people's beliefs. The unity part for our team was important. And so the 50 players and coaches did not join their peers from the San Francisco Giants and Cincinnati Reds, who protested systematic racism and police brutality by kneeling during the anthem before recent exhibition games. Later Thursday, the Giants were joined by Los Angeles Dodgers superstar Mookie Betts kneeling during the anthem. Now, Mookie Betts' father is in the Air Force. I believe he's highly decorated. Mookie Betts, if you don't know baseball, is a superstar. And he had said previously he would never kneel for the national anthem. But I guess he changed his mind on that. Those actions came in a far different environment that greeted Bruce Maxwell, the former Oakland Athletics catcher who in September 2017 became the first baseball player to kneel during the anthem. Now, the Mets actually just signed Bruce Maxwell because apparently this had like pretty much ended his career, much like it did with Colin Kaepernick. Apparently Maxwell was untouchable for the longest time, but the Mets have just signed him. I don't know the details of the contract or if he'll be with the major league team or not, but Bruce Maxwell, I think just today, is now part of the Mets organization. Let's see. Now baseball, but Maxwell was not as good as Colin Kaepernick was talent-wise, but Maxwell was the one baseball player to do it. Now baseball at large is ready to take up the cause, sensing a safer environment and above all greater unity and communication among its black players. I think it's definitely the first step, says Judge. I know Bruce Maxwell took a knee during the anthem and we just didn't have the support yet. I think now having these conversations with these teammates, having these uncomfortable talks is how you start this. Once you have those talks as a team, then you could take it to the league. I don't have all the answers, but I like where we're going with this. Now before the second game of the season, Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Hicks of the Yankees took a knee during the national anthem. They did not have the pre-national anthem Black Lives Matter moment of silence. Apparently, it was an opening night thing. And then before the third game Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Hicks were not in the field. They were in the clubhouse during the national anthem. So that is what's going on with that. So, Joe, do you like the moment of silence with the black ribbon before the national anthem?
Well, if it's before the national anthem, I don't have a problem with that. I frankly think it's pandering. But if it's before the national anthem, that's fine. My problem is when it's during the national anthem. And my whole opinion on that is that several minutes of that song gives you the right to stand up and voice yourself for something that's right or wrong. That song celebrates the right to do that, our right to speak out if something's right or wrong. And I believe that you should stand up while that song plays, because that song celebrates your right to speak out. Mind if there is an injustice.
I don't want to rehash all of our stances on the kneeling during the national anthem. We've done it ad nauseum. I have no interest in going down that road again. This is just a little bit different. To your pandering point, listen, I don't know what's in these guys' hearts, but I think you're taking a lot less of a... First of all, you're taking a lot less of a risk now than when Kaepernick did it and Maxwell did it, because it is a lot more accepted. The majority of the population is on board. Listen, I don't have a problem with it, but I do feel it's a little less impactful if you just do it the one time before the national anthem, so I can kind of see what Joe's saying. So the pandering. Pip, what say you?
Well, I mean, at first I was kind of on the fence about, you know, when Colin Kaepernick was doing it, I thought that he had the right, because it's been fought over, to have the right to show his, you know, to take that moment to show his support for a movement, which at first that was really, really, you know, daring. And it was obviously very controversial because he's lost his career over it. But now that, you know, people are starting to see the point of it and they're more on board, I wouldn't say that it's pandering. Like Davin said, I don't know what's in their hearts. I don't know if it was that they each as individuals felt that this was something that they wanted to show, or if it's just that, you know, now that it's, you know, like if you look at the polls, you know, there are more people that are on board with the ideology behind Black
I think it's last I saw.
They felt safer to do it now.
Last I saw, it's like 72%. Like, kind of agree with the Black Lives Matter movement, where, like, it wasn't like that when Kaepernick and Maxwell did it. But go on.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, I have to say that, I mean, I have no idea what goes on in the minds of a Black person in this country. I've got white privilege, and I know that that's a loaded phrase, but I do understand that I have privilege just by virtue of being white, that I am treated differently than, you know, my black counterparts would be in some circumstances. And I agree with that. That is something that has to be changed in our country. It's a long haul, but, you know, racism is definitely a problem here. And if they want to voice their opinion on that, I don't care where they do it. I think that it's the right thing to do.
I think what they should do... Go on.
The whole thing with the white privilege, as you're looking for a job, do you know that an African-American will get hired before you, which is due to quotas? Now, if they're going to try to right the ship, that's fine, but don't have them stand there and go, well, our lives matter, when things are tilted towards them. And there goes the laughing again.
You know what made me laugh about that whole thing? We're talking about black people and, you know, slavery and everything, and Joe's go-to is, if you want to right the ship, that just struck me as funny. That was what...
That is funny.
If you want to right the ship, don't fucking bring them to America. That's how you right the ship.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Oh, God. I know Joe was making a point, but once he said right the ship, I checked out and enjoyed the comedy.
Or release the shackles.
Well, it was just funny. Out of all the generic phrases you could go to, you went to right the ship. It's like, oh, man. Whatever. So be it.
If you
want
to write the
slave
ship.
Oh, man. Yep, that's what it was. That's what it was.
Oh, God.
That's exactly what. See, Joe, now you're presidential material.
And saying is that I understand that there aren't instances like that, but in the some context of, well, we brought humans in boats here and enslaved them for hundreds of years, and now we're annoyed for this minute and a half that some black people are getting advantages over white people. I think that, okay, let's hold the phone for a second and just realize that, yeah, the pendulum in some instances has swung over, but when people, I think that there's a large misunderstanding of two terms, white privilege and Black Lives Matter. And first, white privilege doesn't mean that every white person is privileged overall in society. I did not grow up a privileged person. However, I did grow up privileged by the color of my skin, that I would be given the benefit of the doubt in a lot of circumstances where minorities wouldn't, by racist people. That's what white privilege means. And Black Lives Matter doesn't mean... Well, white people's lives matter, too. What Black Lives Matter means is Black Lives Matter, too. Don't think that Black Lives Matter less than other people's lives. Right. That's what it means.
Have you heard anybody in the Black Lives Matter movement speak out about black-on-black crime and all the murders that have been happening?
Yeah, they're in Chicago. If you ever listen to the mayor, she's very aware of what's going on there. If you listen to Mayor Lightfoot, she knows what's going on. It's mostly gang stuff. And she said, you know, a lot of the problem is they're getting guns from these other states. They're getting illegal guns. That's where she said she needs the feds to really help out, to help crack down on all the illegal guns flooding into her city. So, yeah, she does speak about it. I don't want to get into the whole, you know, who kills who thing. But again, basically, white people kill more white people. Black people kill more black people. You kill who you know. That's how homicide works. So that's why it is that way. But yes, black leaders are certainly aware of it. I don't know if they're wearing the Black Lives Matter t-shirt or not, but I can tell you the mayor of the second largest city in the country, who has a lot of violence right now, is fully aware of it, and she has spoken to President Trump about what she needs, because, you know, Trump wants to send in the feds, and she says, well, this, I don't want feds doing what's going on in Portland. Here's where I could really use your assistance working along with our law enforcement. Is he going to do that? I don't know. It doesn't make the headlines.
Chicago has been a horror show with murders way before the whole Black Lives Matter thing, and I don't think they're addressing key things. And to tell you the truth, I think with all the riots and destruction of property going on with anything, I think the message is getting diluted, where I think people are...
Of course it is. But Joe, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, what are you doing to help all the white trash that is strung out on meth? What are you personally doing? When have you spoken out about all the white trash in Appalachia that is using meth and ruining their lives and killing each other with that? Yeah, we could all do more. We could all do more. Let's focus on what the people that are doing. Let's try to help everybody. Let's not go, hey, but look over here.
So, all right, so you're saying let's try to help everybody, but when you say all lives matter...
No, I didn't say that.
Cut down.
I didn't say all lives matter.
But what I'm saying is, but you said let's try to help everyone.
Right.
Don't you think everyone I'm associating is with all?
Right, but what I find when it comes to the black on black thing, it's always a diversion for other stuff. It's always from white people worrying about other things and going, look over there, look how bad these people are. It's usually from people that have a history of saying racist shit. That's what it is. But I do not have that history, but I am acknowledging that the mayor, who's African-American, is addressing your concern and has said very publicly what she needs to help fight black-on-black violence. And as we've said...
Well, what about her police department? Why isn't it...
Well, that's what she's saying. She's saying, listen, President Trump, if you want to send feds in, I welcome it. We've worked with the federal government for years. That's what happens. That's what all these cities do. There's certain things, especially with terrorism and all. But she's saying, this is what I need you to do. If you want to worry about black-on-black crimes, I don't need you patrolling the street, because we have local police that are better trained to roam the streets, walk the beat, so they say. We need you to help us cut down on the flood of illegal guns. If we can cut down all these illegal guns coming in from other states, we're going to have a lot less black-on-black murder. That's what she's saying.
They'll find something else. You take the guns away, they'll get a knife.
Well, Joe, let's see what happens.
The implement, but you're not taking away the impetus.
Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. Let's see what happens.
They'll find something else.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what. It's a lot harder to have a drive-by knifing.
sorry?
It's a lot harder to have a drive-by knifing. You got to be a fucking ninja for that shit. I mean, that's what a lot of these people are. That's how a lot of people are murdered. It's a drive-by. I'm driving by and I fire my gun. That's what's happening in these cities. It's a lot harder to do that shit with knives. But don't dismiss it. You asked for, are they speaking about it? I told you they are. So let's see what happens. Let's see if it does cut down on it. And before this year, crime was way down. But you have a lot of people who are out of work, a lot of people who are stressed out, a lot of people...
And what was this in Chicago? Are you talking about New York City? Are you talking about Chicago?
I'm talking about all the cities. Crime's been going down for years, in the cities for years. Homicide is up 50% this year in Chicago. So, yes, Chicago's been an issue, but it's really an issue right now. But listen, people...
No, it's been an issue for a lot of years.
I understand that, but what I'm telling you was, before this year, like in most of our major cities, crime was trending down. COVID-19 has taken all that. You like to cite COVID-19 while the kids are out on the streets protesting. That's why they're out there. I don't know. Maybe. But certainly if you have if you are tending to have bad inclinations, not having a job, not being able to pay your rent, not having money, worrying about getting sick, that's going to lead you to do bad things. I'm not saying it's an excuse, but that's the reality.
Oh, I tell you, I have my neighbor right next door. And Eric teaches, she hasn't worked, and she's worried about where her next paycheck is coming. And I don't see her.
What did I just say? I said if you have an inclination to do bad things,
that's a criminal element.
Well, it's not criminal until they act on it. What I'm saying is a lot of people have bad tendencies, but if you keep them busy, you give them hope, give them money, give them something to look forward to, they won't act on it. Right now, there's a lot of hopelessness and helplessness in this country, and they're working on the worst impulses. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'm just telling you what's going out there. So I'm telling you the same thing, the reason why you think people are out in the streets protesting, the same reason that a smaller segment of our population is acting out and being violent. We have a real fucking issue here. And it's not going to go away. That part is not going to get better until we deal with COVID-19. Till people are working, till people have food, till people can pay their rent, till people are too busy to fucking drive by and shoot each other. That's the reality of it. But let's move on. That was pretty heavy for a baseball conversation. Talking about baseball, and all talking about drive-by shootings. It's fucking baseball. It's the national pastime, not drive-by shootings. I hope that doesn't become the national pastime. I don't want to play that game.
Let's not talk about hot dogs because there'll be a drive-by knifing involved.
By the way, I will tell you that this white libertarian on my page, who I stayed at his house one night. You know, he's very, very nice when I stayed there. Very nice. Got along with him. But he only comes on my page to argue shit. And last week we were arguing about the whole mask thing. And again, you know, he thinks freedom means he could do whatever he wants, which is not how this country works. But again, so this was his parting shot to me. He goes, well, when the shooting starts, you're not on my side. How many motherfuckers do we have running around just counting down the moments for the shooting to start? I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, there's probably the same people that go, look at Chicago. They're probably licking their chops. I can't wait to shoot. What is wrong with people? They just want us to tear each other apart. That's...
with you on that. It is very frightening that we're at this boiling point and that it is so incredibly divided between people, you know, of different ideologies. People like to say, oh, we used to be able to talk. I don't know that we were always so great at talking in this country. I think that it's important that we're allowed to talk in this country.
Hold on. I'm swapping out a mic. I want to see if it's a mic issue.
During that boomer versus the great generation. They were just smaller people, and they were not to be heard. And the fact that they were raising their voices was just like, what? You're speaking at the table? There are adults here, you know.
That's the thing. We played rock music. We grew our hair long. We smoked pot. We protested the war. You know, we fought all of that. And we were the first generation that kind of realized that racism was wrong and wanted to play, that thought racism was stupid and wanted to change all that. And then you have the millennials go, okay, boomer, you fucking asshole.
It hurts.
We started all this shit.
All right.
It hurts to be totally dismissed by an entire generation that way. I agree with you. But yeah. They are seeing things. Even they're just like Davin has said several times that Democrats are not particularly thrilled with Biden because they don't feel that he's left enough. And that's this
right,
new generation
right.
that's saying, yeah, you made changes, but they're not enough. Look at the jam we're still in. We have to do
yeah.
more, boomer, you know.
Yeah, but
a boomer.
All right.
You gotta, smarts.
You got to remember, though, a lot of the people that are protested back in the 60s, they're now yelling at these kids for protesting. So people change
yeah.
as they get older and they have money in their bank account. You know, Joe likes yeah. to talk about in his act, you know, like fighting and everything. You know,
yeah.
you step outside. You know, when Joe was younger, he would fight. Now he doesn't fight because he owns shit. People's, you know, you know, that's what happens. You start owning shit. You have a family. You have investors. You go, all right, what's wrong with these kids today? It's natural, and I understand their point. We did it to our parents, too. All right, let's move on while I have your audio working for the time being. And Pip gave me the bitch mug again. I do not like that at all.
You want to move on because you worked so hard to get everything back.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, here we go. Drunks in the News. This week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term. When you get shit-faced, according to our founding father, you are fuddled.
Fuddled?
Fuddled.
That's a great name. That's a really good name.
I like that.
I'm fuddled.
Fuddled. Joe, you look. Joe, have you been drinking? Are you fuddled?
I'm befuddled.
I like that a lot.
I got to remember that. It's like fuddled.
Right,
you know what? And if he said that, people would know what you meant.
Yeah, it's just like I was fuddled last night. And it's like, you're fuddled.
I got totally fuddled last night.
All right, so here's
man that Franklin.
Here's our drunks. Here's our topic for Drunks in the News. I'm going to play a lengthy audio clip, but here's what's going on: Colorado and South Carolina, in an attempt to fight COVID-19. Are reducing when you can sell, how late you can sell alcohol. Colorado is going to 10 o'clock, I believe, and South Carolina is going to 11 o'clock. They feel if they cut down the drinking hours by several hours, that will help fight COVID-19 because too many people are at the bars and not social distancing. So this is lengthy. It's about a 5-minute clip, but I'll play you some of what South Carolina had to say first. The first voice you'll hear is their governor, I believe his name is Maxwell, their governor, and then you will hear a story coming from Colorado. So it's about a 5-minute clip.
Help reduce the rapid transmission of coronavirus, particularly among young adults congregating in bars and restaurants at night. This executive order will prohibit the sale of alcoholic beverages at all South Carolina restaurants and bars after 11 p.m., starting tomorrow night, Saturday. Now, many of the young people in our state, as well as around the country, seem not to be taking the virus as seriously as they should, and we hope that this will help all of us, particularly the younger generations, to realize just how serious this virus is. So we are saying emphatically, it's time for our younger adults to behave like mature adults. This is very serious. Wear your mask. Keep that distance. Wash your hands. Be careful. Don't cough or sneeze or get too close to people, particularly the older people, because although our younger people may feel just fine and show absolutely no signs or no symptoms, they might be just carrying that virus, as we know from the statistics, and unintentionally inflict permanent damage. So again, wear your mask, wear your mask, wear your mask.
We know that wearing a face mask and maintaining social distancing are effective tools in preventing this deadly virus from spreading. We also recognize that South Carolinians are socially active and that we enjoy and we want to spend time outdoors, spend time with friends and family. But when engaging in certain social activities like eating or grabbing a drink out with friends, especially in enclosed indoor spaces, we are putting ourselves and others at greater risk of getting and spreading the virus. In these settings, people get close, they tend to talk louder over the music, and we know that this virus is spread really efficiently by people who are close to one another, talking. The louder you talk, the more efficiently it's spread, for 15 minutes or longer. We understand, I understand, everyone is tired. We're looking for a way to get back to a more normal life. I myself would like that. While there is no way to ensure zero risk of infection, we encourage everyone to choose activities that are safer.
People spreading the virus. The governor announced today last call for buying alcohol will be moving from 2 a.m. to 10 p.m. He is still finalizing the order. Our Alan Janae reporting tonight on the expected impact. Alan, we do know this will cover casinos and liquor stores and the already struggling restaurants and bars.
Well, Jim, Thursday night at this time, the alcohol service will have been shut down a few minutes ago at 10 p.m. across the state. Now, for bars like Blake Street Tavern right here, they were pinning a lot of hopes on the return of pro baseball and basketball and hockey on TV and the people to watch it to try and recover $1.8 million in losses. But one bar manager told me today, this is a punch in the gut.
The inside space, you got the outside space.
Yes, sir. We've got a brand new beer garden.
At Blake Street Tavern, owner Chris Fuselet shows off his COVID beer garden on top of 18,000 square feet of space inside. They're hurting, and he's outraged at the governor's decision.
Is he in the wrong?
He's absolutely in the wrong.
Fuselet argues they're vigorous about rules on distancing and masks.
We are more regulated than anybody. We will maintain the distancing.
He says if he stops serving at 10, the night is not over.
And they're going to keep the party going. And then they're going to go to their apartments or their condos, and they're going to drink there, and they're not going to socially distance, and they're not going to be wearing their masks.
Outside Bordeaux in the Highlands, one of his 10 restaurants, Juan Padro is backing the governor's move, knowing rising infection rates are troubling.
He's got reason to be concerned for that, I think.
Still, Padro knows there are other gathering places where young adults may be getting infected.
I think he was really smart to limit it to 30 days and reevaluate. We'll see if it moves the meter a whole lot. I think he's just seeing if it does. I don't even think he knows if it will.
Fuselet notes only about a dozen and a half of Colorado's 400-plus outbreaks are traced to establishments that serve alcohol.
Why are we being picked on? 10 o'clock at night? I mean, we've got to survive, and we are already dying as it is.
Tough move on top of tough times.
If that's the decision he's going to make, then I'm going to get behind it.
Even if it costs you.
Even if it costs me.
Coincidentally, Fuselet and other tavern owners today filed a lawsuit against Colorado's Department of Public Health and Environment over capacity limits, saying there is no science behind the limits of 50 indoors or 100 if you have multiple rooms. That lawsuit claims that 80% of Colorado's bars and restaurants are already, Jim, at half their capacity right now. In Denver, Alan Janae covering Colorado First.
Thank you.
All right, so interesting. I think I might be alone on this. I don't think bars should be serving indoors at all. I mean, I think if you're going to let them serve, I don't think cutting down the time is going to make a difference. I think if you're going to let them serve at reduced capacity, you're not really. You know, you're kind of like just punishing them. You're just cutting off how much they're going to make, unless you're saying, you know, after those hours, people are going to drink more and they're going to be less compliant. Here's the reality. If you're in a bar, you're not really compliant with your social distancing. You drink, you have a good time. Alcohol makes you feel good. You start hanging on people. You spit more when you talk louder. I don't really think bars should be open at all. And that kills me because that means I don't work. I think the only way they should be open is if they have like an outside beer garden. If they can serve outside, I would let them do that. And I would not make them stop at 10 or 11. I would let them go until 2 a.m. or 1 a.m., whatever the state does. Otherwise, I think it should just be for delivery. And I know that might be unpopular, but I just feel like this kind of thing, this kind of rule is not really accomplishing much.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if they could do it outside, you know, but what happens when it gets cold, you know? And how many people are going to be allowed outside, you know? How many people, if you were going to do it outside, what would you have, how many people out there?
I mean, I guess you would go, I guess, what, are they at 50% capacity? I would allow for however you can space it out. If it's 50%, it's 50%. And listen, there's a lot of places that don't have outside seating and everything. I get it. This is not ideal, but we got to take this seriously. And I understand that they feel that this is taking it seriously. But to me, if you're going to open the bars and let them do the business at 2 a.m., those 3 or 4 hours are not really going to make that much of a difference in my mind.
No, yeah. Not really. But if you could set the bar up where there's plexiglass in front of the bar, maybe no at-the-bar seating, and people would have to say, you know, there'd have to be parameters. On indoor seating.
Well, I mean, Joe, let's be honest. Joe Pitt, we've seen it here in New York. We've seen the pictures in New York. You know, we've touted how good New York is. But there's plenty of shots in New York of bars where people are packed right now. Actually, it's usually on the weekends. But in New York, New Jersey, where we've been through the worst of this for now. Listen, man, if you're in that mindset of being out to drinking, you're not thinking about being socially responsible, compliant, distancing. How many bad decisions are made at bars? How many ugly people do you go home with at bars? How many fights do you get in with at bars? You think you're going to remember not to spit when you talk at a bar to keep 6 feet away? There's just no way. It's just unrealistic. Alcohol and COVID-19 in public do not mix. That is the reality of this shit. So in my mind, either fight it and don't let the bar serve inside, or if you're going to let them serve inside, then let them serve till 2 a.m. and make their money. You've already decided you're going to let them make their money. Don't fucking handicap them.
It really is difficult.
All right, Pip, then Joe.
Sorry. It really is difficult because it's very hard to socially distance anyway in a place where you're going to be imbibing. It's like, take off mask. Take off mask. Move mask. Now talk. It's loud in here. Talk louder. I'm going to pull down my mask so you can hear me better. It's very, very difficult, and they're standing close together. I know that this is horrible for restaurants and bars. I feel terrible for the people that are in those situations, but it's a pandemic. It's not something that somebody picked to punish people. It's something that we have to do what we have to do to control it, or it's never going to friggin' stop. And I don't think that having places where you're going to be standing around drinking in close proximity to each other is being safe. I don't.
All right, Joe, what do you say?
The reason that Pip brought up, it's like when you're at a bar, and I believe it was in a story as well, you start to talk louder, you start to talk closer. So with that in mind, you know, it might not be a good idea. You could say, well, why, you know, if they're only going to be open a certain amount of hours, that's when you're going to go, but then it's going to get crowded. So it's kind of a rough call on this, what they should do.
I think they're trying to be half pregnant. That's what I really think. I mean, they're afraid to take the tough stance, and I get why. I get why, but I think this. I don't think this pleases anybody. I don't think this pleases the people that are very concerned about COVID-19, and I don't think this pleases the people that are less concerned and the businesses. But we'll see. I just thought it was an interesting story. So none of us really like this this half pregnant measure.
It's a tough call to make.
Well, that's why
my father was a bartender. He would have been hamstrung. You know, I mean, he had other jobs, but I mean, he was a bartender a couple nights a week, and it would have been catastrophic for our family during the times when he worked as that if he couldn't ply his trade and make the tips. But he would find something else to do, find another way around it, because it just doesn't work.
Listen, I mean, let's be honest. Bouncers can't even keep people from punching each other, kicking each other, biting each other, pulling hair. You know, now you want them to make sure you're wearing a mask. Hey, back it up. Yeah, you're spitting. It's too much. That's why it goes. And then we'll move on. It's we gotta We've bailed out the airlines. We've bailed out the cruise industry, which aren't even here. The cruise, they list Bahamas as their home country, but they're getting our taxpayer money. We need to bail out the restaurants and bars. That's really what we need to do. We need to float them until this passes. That's what we need to do. Because we've already established money doesn't mean anything to us, which is fine. I'm okay with that if we all agree on that, except now when and I don't want to get all political and shit, but now the Republicans like, well, now when the everyman, you know, they gave us $600 a week, now when that's running out, let's cut it down to 200. And like, you motherfuckers, how many times have we bailed out the airline? First of all, $200 in New York goes a lot less than it does in, say, Alabama. First of all, there's no cost of living in that. But it's like, man, these are everyday people that need this money. And you go, oh, well, they're making more than they were when they were working. Yeah, that tells you how shitty the jobs are. That's what that tells me. If $600 a week is changing your life, that tells me how badly we're paying people. But I don't want to get off into a whole thing like that. But yes, if you...
You got to get back to work, but you're mandating things are closed. So, you know, and with that discussion we just had, if you are going to shut down these businesses, you can't really stop the payments. Because you say, right. You don't want to go, because I can't. Because you closed it. You did it. You know, so on that respect, you know, it comes to a tipping point. Well, we were having this discussion, probably like in April or whatever. I said, you know, basically, I think you have to give it a shot. You know, you have to try. You have to get people back to work. I think it becomes a tipping point. We have to take steps back. With that being said, we're at a tipping point where we need to take some steps back. You know, we tried it. It's going to work. It doesn't look like it's going to work, especially in the situation of a bar. So now we need to reevaluate it. Everything with this stuff has been a learning curve. Okay?
Yeah.
You could say, the experts have been changing their tune as we've been going along. Not that they don't know what they're doing, but this is something that we haven't experienced in our generation. So, you know, we've been making steps. My whole thing right now is that if we're starting to, if the cases are increasing and stuff like that, we really should get to wearing the mask. We should really do the social distance, because we learned that going into the spring, you know, and we saw what it can do. It could take it back. So with that being in mind, I feel with the whole social distancing and wearing the mask, yeah, we have to deal with it till the curve is flattened. And,
yeah.
You know, when it gets to the point where the curve has been flattened, then we review it there. And then maybe we get a little more revolutionary towards it. But for right now, it's the thing to do. In certain circumstances, you can't take that chance if it's going to flare up again.
Hey, and on other news, I might have to buy a new fucking board, which with money we don't have, since we don't have the sponsors used to have, because of COVID-19. Yay, COVID-19! Right now I have the three of us running out of one of the boards, not of the boards, of the outlets for us. So hopefully that will work right now, because I don't know, the one...
Well, that board is... How old is that board? That board is 7 years old?
No, it's more than that. It's eight. It's eight, 9 years old.
9 years, right?
Yeah, 8, 9 years old. Yeah, we got it the first year.
Yeah. All right. So it's 9 years old and it's caked in dust. So
no, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I see a lot of dust on that thing when I'm up there.
I've cleaned it. I have the air gun to put it in the holes and everything. It's just it's old.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Yes. All right. Let's do some. Yeah. Let's do some School of Fools.
Finger on the rosy, bucket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fool.
All right, amid a heated nationwide debate surrounding the reopening of schools for in-person instruction this fall, Missouri Governor Mike Parson made some very controversial comments, declaring that schools should reopen despite acknowledging that the coronavirus will infect children, because when they do catch COVID-19, quote, they're not going to the hospitals. These kids have to get back to school, Governor Parson, a Republican, said in an interview on Friday with talk radio host Mark Cox. They're at the lowest risk possible. Parson continued, and if they do get COVID-19, which they will, and they will when they go to school, they're not going to the hospitals. They're not going to have to sit in a doctor's office. They're going to go home. They're going to get over it. Walk it off, you little fuck. Missouri has seen... What? What? No, that was me. That wasn't him. Missouri has seen...
Walk it off, you little fuck.
Walk it off. Rub some dirt on it, you pussy. Missouri has seen a significant spike in coronavirus infections this month, averaging 854 new confirmed cases per day, or as New Jersey calls it, one fucking house party.
700. I'm still at 700. 700 people. This place must have been huge.
And we weren't even invited.
I know.
We could have been. We're in the demographic.
Yeah. State Auditor Nicole Galloway, the Democratic candidate for governor, said Parson's comment on how COVID-19 affects children displayed stunning ignorance. She knows that this virus doesn't stop with our children. The teachers, bus drivers, janitors, food service workers, parents, grandparents, and neighbors who our children see every day are susceptible to this virus, too. We need a plan that keeps all Missouri families safe. Of the more than 139,000, by the way, we're up to like 150,000 Americans who have died from the coronavirus, children under the age of 15 account for 31 of those deaths, according to the latest CDC. Not a lot. We worry about those in school who are not children, teachers, support staff, and volunteers. Many of those people will have a much more serious response to the virus, and that is why we want to avoid it. What we want to avoid, said Dr. Alex Garza, incident commander of the St. Louis Metropolitan Pandemic Task Force. Shit!
We're having an incident. Who's in command? I am, sir.
Talk about something that sounds made up. That sounds made up. But it's for reals. Anyway.
No, it's that's really a term that's always been a term.
Well, that's a cool name. Whoever made it up is cool.
Well, yeah, I'll defer to Miss Wikipedia over there. These children could also, if I had a bitch mug, I'd be drinking it.
Well, Christmas is coming soon, boss.
Yay! These children could also come home and spread the virus to others in their household, who could also be greater risk of a serious outcome. All right, does anybody agree with this, Governor? Are we going to have this conversation?
Well, here's the deal.
I guess we will.
Well, here and no, Davin. Here and no. Is he going to open the schools? And what the hell are you? What are you seeing?
There's like a gnat in here. I named it Joe. It's buzzing around in wood. Cut it out, Joe. Get away from me.
He's doing a little nay-nay, Joe.
Nay-nay.
With his arm. That's the nay-nay.
I'm swatting at little Joe.
I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? What?
I'm having a seizure, and all you do is laugh.
You don't look like that. You're a very controlled and relaxed one. But getting back to my point, is he just going to open up the school, everybody come in, or is he going to take protective steps like your daughter's school is doing and stuff like that?
Well, Joe, I didn't hear a lot of protective steps in that they won't go to hospitals.
I haven't either. That's why I'm asking the question. I believe the school should be open, but I think that they should be taking the protective measures and have a protective plan.
I don't think you can open them now in Missouri when they're spiking. I think you can open them to some degree in New York, and people are still flipping out here, and I get it. It's scary. But, you know, listen, I don't expect the guy who came up with, you know, it's not like they're going to die, they don't have to go to hospitals, or doctors are going to go home. I don't expect this guy to have a nuanced approach. I mean, if COVID-19 was the voting issue, hello, Democratic governor in 2021. Holy shit, are you a dumb motherfucker in Missouri? But that's just me.
Because as the story says, he's not taking a look at the ancillary things that are there. The janitors, the lunch staff, the school bus drivers, you know, where they could get it. And then it's like, well, if they get sick, they just go home. Well, the parents are there. Grandparents could be there. He's very foolhardy in his presentation of this. I mean, if he came out and said, look, we realize there's a problem. Parents got to get back to school. We are instituting these procedures to get the schools back in. We believe that we are implementing this in the school, but it's like, the kids will go to school to get over it. He's an asshole if that's actually the case, which it looks by the story, it is.
Well, I mean, it was on a radio interview. I've heard the quotes. I didn't include the quote. I didn't include him saying it, but I've heard clips of him saying it. He said it. It's not fake news. Yeah, this guy does not inspire confidence at all. But listen, we have a lot of leaders that don't inspire confidence. It's why our country isn't allowed to travel to the fucking Bahamas anymore. So there you go. But so we all agree, if you're taking reasonable protocols and concern, maybe you open up the schools. But if you're like, rub a little dirt on it, you little pussy, perhaps you shouldn't be in charge.
Maybe he's speaking, they should have a picture behind him of a 3-year-old on a vent.
Well, yes. Okay. Now, maybe here's something we can argue about. A social studies teacher in Michigan says he was fired for tweeting in support of President Trump and schools reopening amid the coronavirus pandemic, according to reports. This is my blog for this week, so I got all the insights. Justin Kuchera, 28, told the Detroit News that he was given the option to resign or be canned on Monday. That's not really much of an option. That sucks. A lousy option that is. What, no C? We don't have C?
Give you a choice, please.
Either way, you got a skedaddle, but how do you want it to go down? That sucks. Canned on Monday after school district officials questioned him about 3 of his July 6 tweets. It was a busy day. The post included a retweet of the president's message declaring, "The schools must open in the fall." By the way, I believe Barron is being homeschooled in the fall, but that's okay. One that said, "I'm done being silent. A real Donald Trump is our president. Don't at me." I don't even know what that means, but he said, "Don't at me." Okay.
Don't tweet at me.
Okay. The former Walled Lake Western High School teacher also responded to a comment on his tweet with, "Liberals suck, man." He deleted the post a few hours later, according to the newspaper. A few days later, Kuchera said he was summoned to a Zoom meeting with district supervisors to discuss the tweets. "I hope you're available. We'll be looking in your house." Kuchera said...
"Yeah, there was a problem." The problem was at the Zoom meeting was the mics cut out. He borrowed our equipment from...
Yeah. Kuchera said he agreed school should reopen in the fall and that he meant for his tweet about Trump being president to be unifying, because that always works. "I think we should be rooting for him to succeed, because if the president succeeds, we all succeed." Well, it depends. I mean, listen, if the pilot drives into a mountain and that's what he wants to do, we don't fucking win. I'm not saying that's what Trump's doing, but that's flawed thinking. People say it, Democrats say it, Republicans saying it, you should root for the president because if they succeed, we succeed. Well, it depends what they're fucking doing. Slow the fuck down. I don't always like the driver. It's why I don't take Ubers. I don't know what your credentials. Anyway, he maintained the tweets about liberals were meant sarcastically. In a second Zoom meeting on Monday, Kuchera told officials he wouldn't resign. He was told his last day would be July 17th, according to the paper. The school district denied that Kuchera had been fired over the tweet, saying no disciplinary action was taken as a result of any support of President Trump. But the district declined to comment further, citing confidentially surrounding personnel matters. Kuchera noted to the news that other teachers have tweeted negative opinions of Trump and were not fired over them. "It is the equivalent of me sticking a Donald Trump sign in my yard," he said of the tweets. Kuchera also coached baseball at the school, said it's common to have disagreements within the workplace, but I just wanted to move into a climate where we can agree to disagree. And you thought Twitter was the way to do that, did you, champ? Okay. A school district spokeswoman told the paper the district believes in critical thinking, positive discourse, and civil and respectful community discussion. "When issues arise, there's a temptation to view items through the lens of our fractured political discourse," said Judy Evola, director of community relations for Walled Lake Consolidated Schools. Walled Lake encourages the students and staff members to engage each other with mutual respect and civility. I'm going to take maybe this little hot take here. I do think he should have been fired. I don't think he was fired over the Trump tweets. I don't think that's what did it. And that's what the school said, and I'm taking their word for it. I think he was fired because he said, "Liberals suck, man." And that's my reasoning for why he should be fired. Because now when you're taking that type of stance, whether it be conservatives suck, liberals suck, now you're going to have half the teachers, half the parents are going to be fucking gunning for you. Now they're going to be looking for problems. It's compounded when you teach a subject like social studies, which could actually be taught through an anti-liberal, anti-conservative lens because it's history. So now if I'm the school board, I got this whole COVID-19 thing going on. You know, some parents want it open. Some parents don't want it open. Some of the teachers want to be back in the classroom. Some of them don't want to be back in the classroom. And now I got this guy causing fucking problems? I don't need this guy. Now's not the time for you to be a pain in my ass. Do I think he should never work again? No. I think he should be get a second chance somewhere. Do I think they could have disciplined him and let him keep his job? Yeah, I think they could have done that. I think perhaps they were a little heavy-handed for what they did, but no, I don't have a problem with what they did just because of the nature of the environment we live in, what's going on in school boards right now, and the subject that he teaches. If it was home ec, I would have a little bit more leeway. What are you going to do? Conservative cupcakes and liberal biscuits? Is that what you're going to fucking do? You know, I might give you a little bit more leeway. But if I know you hate liberals, and I come from a liberal family, and my kid's in your class, and now there's a lesson, and I'm looking for, oh, well, of course, he hates the fucking liberals. That's why he's teaching it this way. Now I got to call the principal. Now the superintendent has to be called. I don't need their shit. Not now. So that's why I am okay with this decision.
Basically, everything he said really wasn't a problem. However, spot on, when he wrote liberal fuck man, that changed. He put his foot in cow shit on that
one. Oh, okay.
And that's the problem. Should they have fired him? I don't know, because I don't know how his record. I mean, if he's been a problem there, maybe that's the last straw. If he hasn't, maybe a suspension. You know, and maybe a retraction. So I don't know the backstory on that, so I can't comment on that. What I can tell you, and what I do agree wholeheartedly with you, is as soon as you put liberal suck man, you got problems. And as a teacher, you should know. Number one, as a teacher, and I know people that are teachers, they go on Facebook. Some of them don't go on at all, but they keep their comments very vanilla, very plain, because they have to. And as a teacher, he should know and have the common sense that if he's going to comment on something and if he feels passionate, he's got to take a very middle-of-the-road approach to it. As soon as he put liberal suck, deal's over. Game over. You know, over.
What do you say, Pip? Anything to add?
You know, I'm going to say things that people will cherish for years. I agree with Joe.
You agree with Joe?
I do.
Well, Joe, wait, Joe agreed with me. Joe agreed with me, so you agree with me. Fuck you.
I did it for the joke. Come on.
Oh, it was a joke. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were doing jokes now. I apologize. My bad.
I try.
Oh, okay.
I try.
Okay. Ha, ha, ha.
See, even when I try to joke, I get jumped on. Oh, my God.
Well,
I'm an asshole.
I'm an asshole.
But part of the thing is that, you know, for many years people have said, and I'm talking about college, but that, you know, all ivory tower college liberals, and people have had problems with professors and sometimes teachers in the primary and secondary schools have been pushing their liberal agenda on students in the way that they teach certain subjects. And so by rights, if someone had tweeted something like, oh man, conservatives suck, yeah, I got a problem with that. Because, you know, you're putting your personal bias, and I'm thinking you're bringing your personal bias into the classroom. Should he have been fired? Not necessarily, but like Joe said, if he's been a pain in the ass the whole time along, this might have been the straw. But but you know, maybe he's been just, you know, you're right on the edge, buddy. And then he went ahead and did this very publicly. And no matter which political side he was pulling for here to announce it like that, now I as a parent, I'm wondering what you're teaching my children and what biases you're bringing to the education.
I guess I wrote an excellent blog this week.
You did.
Okay, good. Listen, I thought we might all fight on that one. And, like, you know, he can support. I don't care if the teacher supports the president. You know, I don't give a shit about that. It's when you It's when you start saying the other people suck. So we all agree on that. He could put Trump Pence 2020 on there. You know, I might not invite him over to the garage sale, or I might not give him a nice fresh tasty apple. But that's okay. He's got a right to support whoever he wants. It's not a problem. It's all right. Good. We all agree. And it's funny Because in my mind, this, what he did, is much worse than when these teachers get fired for having like a scantily clad picture of themselves on Instagram or Facebook. Because the vast majority are not bringing their tits and ass into the classroom. Now, there are the special few, but the vast majority, it's not affected. They're doing that shit on their free time, and it doesn't bleed into the classroom.
Well, the funny thing is, Anthony Cumia always had a great analysis on that. He goes, when we were in school, you saw your teacher during the day, you know, and it's like, hi, you see him in the hallway. Maybe in a chance you might see him at the supermarket. And it's like, which is weird because you always think he's just going to a teacher box till the next day. But yep. It was, you know, you would see him in the hall, you would see him, you know, and that was it. You never saw your math teacher in a thong in Jamaica with doing shots. Yeah.
And that's the guy.
Yeah.
It's a good point. It's a good point. It's better to be in school now.
Yeah.
It's much better to see your teacher in a thong. I miss it. I wish I had seen it.
Listen, if I was in high school again and I had some buff teacher and he's hanging out on social media wearing the banana hammock. No, I take that back. I don't like banana hammocks on anybody. But I'm just saying, if he was hanging out wearing his bathing suit all tan and like shots on the beach smiling, I would not mind.
All right, let's move on. So we agreed on that one. A radio host got fired. So I am going to play. She was yelling at workers to speak English. That's the gist of it. She was yelling at workers minding their own business to speak English. I will play that audio, and then I will give you some details on what the company who fired her had to say, and then we can discuss.
English? Okay, but it is America. It is America. You should be speaking English. You should be speaking English. They work for the state. You should be speaking English. What do you work for? Oh, so are these people... Is English. Doesn't matter. It's still English. It's English. 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 Is anybody here illegal? Are these guys illegal? What's the name of this company? Look at this. Look at this. It's America. Speak English. Speak English. So this is a foreman working for this company, Morin's. And he's speaking Spanish to these guys. So your tax dollar is up here in New Hampshire. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. That is what's going on. So now they have people who don't speak English who are putting in this stuff that taxpayers are paying for. And look what they're doing. This is communism. This is communism. Look at this. They're taking over these streets. This, what they're doing up here in Nashua, is permanent. Permanent. So here's a private company. Wake up. No residents. I want to know, where's Governor Sununu? Where's Governor Sununu? What's your problem? Are they in America?
Yes.
Okay, they should be speaking English.
What?
Should be speaking English.
Because what?
They should be speaking English. Are they illegal aliens? They don't speak the language?
What does speaking the language have to do with
it? Do they not speak the language?
You're driving to the state. What does it say?
Do they not speak the language?
I have no idea.
Okay, why do you care?
Because
I wasn't talking to you.
You're harassing me.
I have a right.
To harass people?
How am I harassing them?
You're yelling at them while
I'm yelling?
Job. Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Are they illegal?
I'm trying to enjoy my lunch.
So then go enjoy your lunch. You're why are you wearing a mask?
Why am I wearing a mask? Yeah. There's a global pandemic.
Really? Okay. Okay. So this guy decided that he's going to come over here and be a social justice warrior. Right. I know, really.
Because I was 6 feet away outside.
Oh, it's over from the other side. Because he's a black man, and he's going to protect the brown man from this white woman who's practicing white privilege because she happened to walk by and heard this guy talking to all of these guys doing this work in Spanish. So I'm going into the studio.
All right. Well, first off, she doesn't understand what white privilege is. But anyway, so she got fired from Pip explained it earlier. So she got fired from the radio station WSMN. This is what they said: "We at WSMN value freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and assembly. We will not tolerate discrimination, racism, or hatred. We continue to present and offer on-air opportunities for discussion, education, and the exchange of opinions and ideas. The footage from Friday prompted more than 13,000 people in a Change.org petition to call for Plas ouster for her encounter with workers from Morin's Landscaping in Hollis. She in no way represents the city which needs more diversity, inclusion, and appreciation for cultural history and differences, not less," the petition reads. "We are asking WSMN Radio to do the right thing and suspend her radio program and stop giving her a platform to spread hate, ignorance, and racist rhetoric." Plas, for her part, responded to the controversy in a lengthy Facebook Live statement Monday, showing her alongside a cardboard cutout of President Trump. Why is he getting dragged into this? While accusing Republicans and... He didn't do anything. Why is he got to be part of this?
Really? Leave him alone a bit.
For once, Trump is minding his own fucking business, and he gets dragged into this shit.
I know.
While accusing Republicans and leftists of trying to destroy America by building shit in the middle of town. You're destroying America. Usually we get blamed for, like, tearing shit down. Now we're building shit. We can't fucking win. "You've seen what they've done to me," Plas said. "And you know what, fellas? I take it and I wear it as a badge of honor." Well, I can't wear my employment badge anymore because that's gone. Plas had her own show on WSMN 1590 on Monday and Wednesday afternoons at Boston.com reports, but the vocal Trump supporter was never an employee there. The station's owner and operator told the Boston Globe. "She's a client as we only broker our airtime." WSMN's George Russell told the newspaper, "I have plenty lined up to fill that airspace. She's reportedly in contact with Anthony Cumia to join the Compound Network."
No, she's a fucking asshole.
All right, so we
goddamn believe they don't need her. They got Gino on there, so they don't need that shit. But Here's the deal, okay? Me personally, I do feel English should be the national language. That being said, it's the landscaping crew. They're talking with each other. They're interacting with each other. The landscaping crews are usually Spanish guys. At the day program, those guys, I hear Spanish all day long. There's a lot of the guys, you know, Spanish guys there. I don't have a problem with that. They're interacting with each other. And why is she busting their balls? Mind your own fucking business. They're not out taking it. If they're trying to take over the country, they're doing it in a very beautiful way.
They're destroying the country by building shit. How dare they? Here's the most disturbing thing for me. I maintain it would be impossible to maintain an erection while this woman speaks. It is just impossible. That voice is a boner killer.
Oh, she couldn't make trigonometry hard.
Oh. God.
Look, I talk about all these left-wing nuts. She's a fucking right-wing nut. And as somebody the right-wing, I go, she's an embarrassment to my party. Because she's so far right. And we talk about the far left as well. God knows we've had our moments with that. But she is so far right and so out of, crazy. And then when the guy comes up to her, "Why aren't you wearing it?" "Oh, so you're wearing a mask?" "Yeah, because we're wearing masks. We're trying to get this curve flattened." So she goes into that. So she has a whole nother agenda there. And that station, you don't blame her for, I think she's got to pay per play on that station.
Yeah, she's how we started. She's how we started. They don't fucking need her. Susie will find somebody else. I don't know if Susie's working there.
Not at all. Walt can start on Wednesday.
Walt would team up with this crazy bitch.
I think even Walt would look at her and go, "Yeah, not so much."
No, I don't think. There's where we disagree. We found the point in the story where we disagree. I think he'd be fucking thrilled, especially if he could hang out with the cardboard cutout of Trump and take pictures. I think Walt would be thrilled. All right, so Pip, I assume you agree.
Yes, I do. I have nothing to add to this. Okay. She's a whack job.
Okay. All right, well, that went well. All the things I thought we might disagree on, we agreed on again. Joe is a docile Joe.
There was enough in the shit. I mean, look, we had a couple of, you know, moments, you know, of back and forth. But no, everything is pretty much cut and dry with a lot of the stories tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought maybe the teacher. But all right, so time for this segment is coming to a close. So very quickly, we're going to do a brief curmudgeonly philosophy. Because then...
We are.
Unless you don't want to. It's your call.
I think we should skip and just go to the third segment.
There will be no curmudgeonly philosophy. We teased it. You get nothing. So now I must find the music. After I look for the jingle...
We're just running so late.
Well, that's because, once again, the first segment was derailed. But that's okay. That's okay.
Derailed, like last week where we got done when the sun was coming up? Where did we go, like an hour and a half on the first segment last week?
Something like that. It was forever.
Well, we used to do that. Pip and I used to do that all the time.
An hour 40.
We used to do that all the time when we were waiting for you to show up, so it's not new. Of course,
it's not new.
We actually had shit to talk about sometimes because we actually had something of a life, but, you know, that had to end.
Now we have nothing.
I'm trying to say to talk about, and it gets mad if I don't. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not mad at all.
Program, come home, supermarket, that's it.
I'm not mad at all. We're all in the same boat. I'm not mad at all.
Yeah.
I'm just queuing up the music. Just hold on.
I know. I have no life. I have nothing to bring to the table during the chit-chat.
All right. So we're going to take our final break. We'll come back with Scamming Scammers. On the break, we have new music from Fenix Red with Vadum Boom. I like that. Vadum Boom. That's Fenix Red. And we have Dead Crow Row with She's Mine. And to me, the lead singer from Dead Crow Road sounds a little bit like John Bon Jovi. That's what my ear picked up. And you can learn more about both these artists at deucemusic.com. We'll come back and we'll do some Scamming Scammers.